Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. Sorry the show's a little bit late today, but nonetheless, we got it off, and we're off and running. Got a big show. A big, big show. Literally and figuratively. Some things are happening now, some things happening in the future, some things... So it's a big show. I don't have anything off the top or anything like that because it's so big. Okay. So let's dive right into this. So we all know that Apple and Amazon are some of the biggest hitters out there. And we also know that Apple and Amazon are just tech giants. So it's very interesting when you come across a story that is going to talk about them spending almost $1 billion. And this comes from Variety, and Apple and Amazon plan to spend billions on movies for the big screen. So it may be implausible a few years back, heck, even a few months ago, that tech giants Apple and Amazon would spend billions on theatrical movies. And yet, Apple is reportedly planning on investing $1 billion per year into making films that will exclusively play in cinemas. The news, which is first responded by Bloomberg, comes months after the Amazon's similar commitment to putting 12 to 15 new movies in theaters annually. Could it be that the new Hollywood players actually care about the big screen? Having multiple large streaming platforms decide they need theater shows, that is valuable, which is the biggest concern, said Eric Wold, a media and entertainment industry analyst with B. Riley Securities. Apple and Amazon, the move is not exactly a benevolent bid to help out the legal movie theaters. It's a way to promote their respective streaming services. Ideally, the more attention that a movie gives on the big screen, the more people will want to see it when it's available online and sign up for or keep paying monthly subscriptions to Apple TV or Prime Video. It helps to lure top talent who don't want their labors of love to get lost in the shuffle of streaming, and it plays a part in the bigger budget movies and to get back in the black. There's an advantage to streamers to put movies into theaters, he says. You can get incremental revenue from other wells compared to going straight to streaming. There's also an inherent risk. Audiences have never been pickier. Long gone are the days when a rom-com that scored 25% on Rotten Tomatoes could earn $150 million at the box office. Just simply putting a movie in theaters at a time when there's too much disposable content on the big and small screen isn't enough. Neither Apple nor Amazon has shown consistency with compelling content. Yet, they will need to produce good movies and market them efficiently to cut through the noise and get people to show up. Sometimes, quality isn't enough. For theater owners, though, it goes short of euphoria to learn that multiple Hollywood companies, not less, plan to make more movies for multiplexes. Across the movie industry, cinema chains are struggling to recover from the pandemic as ticket sales remain roughly down about 35% pre-COVID. Exhibitioners have pointed to a lack of product as the reason behind the downturn in attendance. So I'm not going to go on and finish the article because it's quite lengthy. However, here's what I'm going to say. This is huge. This is absolutely huge on a couple of basic levels. Number one, the amount of content they're putting in there. That's huge. Number two, it's just a phenomenal number. Think about that for a minute. 12 to 15 theatrical releases per year. That's insane. Now, you think, well, that's a lot. It is a lot. Because if you average it out, that's minimum one a month. Okay. But I will say one thing. They have to, as the story indicates, they have to put compelling stories on the screen. Gone are these, you know, this is one of the biggest, you're right, that is more than Marvel. That will be interesting, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it's one of those things where, you know, so one of the most anticipated movies this year, okay, still remaining, I mean, besides Dune, is Killers of the Flower Moon. And it is supposed to premiere at Cannes. That being said, okay, think about that for a minute. 12 to 15 per year. Now, you could say, well, that's an oversaturation. And it might be. But I'm glad to see the some of these tech giants step up and invest some money. Now, it also said here that, and this was an interesting little nugget too, that it said that, so they're still trying to recover, and it's encouraging. But, you know, having quality isn't enough. But exhibitors that point to a lack of product as the reason is the downturn in attendance. Well, I'll tell you right now, in the next 6 weeks, we're going to be getting a whole bunch of great movies coming out. Okay. And even this summer. Okay. So we've got John Wick coming out this week. Okay. And I just did a story. So it's minimum going to be looking at setting $70 million opening weekend. Okay. Then on top of that, you have Air, which I'm dying to see. Okay. You have a little movie called Tetris. Okay. Which is Apple TV. Speaking of Apple TV, I'm of the age where I remember the Game Boy, so I'm really interested in seeing that. You have the Super Mario Brothers, okay? That's going to be huge, okay? Deadline reported about 2 weeks ago that that has a shot of making 85 to 90 million opening weekend. That's coming out right around Easter, right the same day, as a matter of fact. Then you have, you know, once you get into May, it's, you know, that's really the start of blockbuster season. You know, May 5th, we've got Guardians. May 19th is Fast X. And then the ball's just going to be rolling from there. I can't wait. If it's good, compelling stuff, I can't wait. And Apple TV and Amazon are really starting to put their foot in the ground. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next year. So don't forget, a couple years ago, we had Coda. That one, Best Picture, okay? And, you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once was a little movie. That one, Best Picture. I think you're starting to see the tide turn just a little bit because they have the money to finance this stuff. Yeah, I can't wait. And back to your comment, Coco. So we don't have any Disney releases. So we do, actually. November, we have Elemental. Okay. So that's going to be one of the movies coming out in November. As a matter of fact, they pushed the Mars. Speak to your other comment about Marvel. That actually, they pushed the Marvels back to November. So it's going to be interesting to see. Disney's got a lot of stuff coming out, though. So we have The Little Mermaid. Okay. So we have The Little Mermaid, we have The Marvels, which is technically Disney because Marvel is, okay. We have Elemental. So they do have quite a bit coming out, actually. That will be interesting moving forward. And, of course, you have all the other Guardians, you know. You've got Guardians and a couple other ones. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires and how that transpires. I think that the fact that you're actually having these streaming companies now coming forward and doing this is huge. I'll be very curious to see what the response of the studios are. Because, you know, it looks like, you know, I mean, they've got these big budget movies. So how are they going to, you know, react? You're saying that Elemental looks like a period of Zootopia. Yeah. Yeah, it does. So, I mean, Disney has a lot of stuff coming out, and it's going to be fascinating to see where they go. So let me ask you guys, what do you guys think? Do you think that, are you happy about the turn of events for Amazon and Apple? Do you think that they'll, do you think the movies will be good? If so, which ones would you likely go to see? Do you think that it's too much, too many films? Do me a favor, leave me your thoughts down in the comment section. Okay, so let's move on to the next article. So the next story we have is fascinating because Steve Knight is one of those guys that he's done work before, and now he's starting to even get more work. And according to Variety, and these are all going to come from Variety today, so Steve Knight, who is pictured over there on the far right, okay, that there is Steve Knight, okay, is going to be penning the new Star Wars movie, okay? And it says here that Peaky Blinders creator Steve Knight is set to create a screenplay for the untitled Star Wars movie that Shamin Oberon Khan, excuse me if I butchered his name, is attached to direct, as original screenwriters Damon Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson have departed from. The movie is widely expected to be Lucasfilm's first Star Wars film since The Rise of Skywalker, the 2019's The Rise of Skywalker. More information about the film is about a movie, including a possible title, is expected at the Star Wars Celebration in London in April. So, Knight is a veteran screenwriter who launched his career specializing in gritty crime dramas, including the 2002's Dirty Pretty Things and the 2007 movie Eastern Promises, eventually branching out to lighthearted dramedies, including the 100-Foot Journey and thrillers 2006 Ally. And he's done biopics, of course, Kristen Stewart's Spencer. He's also created and executive produced the BBC period drama Peaky Blinders, which is on Netflix in the United States. Lindelof is best known for the co-creation of the television series Lost, The Leftovers, and Watchmen, brought on by Britt Gibson to write a Star Wars movie together. After turning in a draft earlier this year, the duo parted the project in February, becoming the latest creatives to part ways with Lucasfilms after signing and developing one or multiple new Star Wars films projects to greater fanfare. Earlier in the month, Variety reported that three separate movies, one shepherded by director Patty Jenkins, and that was supposed to be Rogue Squadron, the other produced and other Marvel chief Kevin Feige, had been shelved by Lucasfilms and were no longer in active development. Director DJ Dillard, who just did the Jonathan Majors film Devotion, told The Wrap in November that of 2022 that he was no longer developing a Star Wars project as a studio. And it goes on to talk about the different writers that were there. Look, here's the thing. Okay. No, you're right. Rogue Squadron did get canceled. So Rogue Squadron got canceled. I don't know why. I think that would have been I remember the little trailer, 30-second trailer she did to skate down the runway. That was fantastic. And have a life-size X-Wing there. That was fantastic. I wish she had done it. I don't know why they canceled it. Anyways, so that being said, now we have a new writer. And so a couple questions have to be asked. Okay. Number one, what is this going to be? Okay. What is this Star Wars project going to be? Number two, let me put it like this. I'm tired of Star Wars. I'm tired of Star Wars to the extent of the fact is that we have had so much, and I call it oversaturation. Okay. The fact is that we've had so many different Star Wars series come out. whether it's The Mandalorian, which, by the way, I will be doing a spoiler cast later on this week for, whether it's Andor, whether it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, whether it's, you know, everything else, that, and I know I'm missing a couple. And then you have the Star Wars movies. And I wish it would wait. I mean, look, they're going to be huge. I mean, if you look at the distance, the time distance between when you had Return of the Jedi in 1983 and then, I'm blanking on it. Oh, Phantom Menace. Okay. That was 16 years. 16 years. Okay. And then you had 05. Okay. And then you had 2015. And the thing is that it was 10 years. There has been so much content out there that I think people aren't going to respond. I'm not sure if a new trilogy or possible Jedi phone or a tie-in. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, here's the problem, though. Okay? So even if they announce something at Star Wars Celebration in April, you're talking about maybe, and I'm saying maybe, 2027 before you see anything on screen. That's a fact. Because they have to develop it, they have to write the script, they have to film it, and then they've got to do post. You're talking about 4 years. So maybe they put some sort of tie-in. I don't know. I can't see that. But it's one of those things where I'm tired of Star Wars. I really am. I don't get me wrong. I love the franchise. I love the franchise. I can't wait to watch Mandalorian later tonight. But at the same time, when you have too much of a good thing, it can be detrimental. And I think that that's the problem with too much of a good thing, right? It's like Marvel. Marvel, when you have all these films come out, you know, it's an oversaturation. And you just don't want to, you don't want to watch anything that's bad. And Rise of Skywalker, that was, even though it made $1 billion, was a bad movie. Let's call it what it was. I saw it twice in theaters, once to see if it was, you know, and then the second just to see if it was as bad as everybody said it was. And like, anyways, what do you guys think about this? Do you guys think that, you know, there's too much Star Wars content out there now? Are you excited for the possibility of a new trilogy? Would you like to see a different story? What story would you like to see? Who would be the villain? Let me know down in the comments and answer all those questions down there, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so let's go move to the second, I should say the third topic of the day. So speaking of Steve Knight, who is just on fire right now. Okay, like I said, he's going to be doing the Star Wars project. This is him over there. There is now talks, and we were talking about Marvel just a few minutes ago. There are no talks. I think, let me preface it by saying this. I love older movies. And when I say older movies, I mean 60s, 70s, you know, older movies. The Godfather, The Deer Hunter, all films like that. There are films, though, that, in my opinion, should never be touched. Ever. They're off limits because they are so good. Game changers. And this is one of the movies that I think, and look, I get remakes are fine. I'm really curious to see where this goes. And that's Vertigo. So anybody who's a film fan knows that Vertigo was one of Alfred Hitchcock's greatest films. Now, it wasn't his greatest film. Of course, that would be Psycho. That is the one that everybody remembers. I mean, don't get me wrong. You've got The Birds. You've got Rear Window. But you also have Vertigo. So, according to Paramount, Robert Downey Jr. is in talks to remake and be the lead in Vertigo. If you're going to remake a movie, why not remake one of the most acclaimed movies ever? Paramount Pictures has preemptively acquired a remake of Alfred Hitchcock's 1958 classical psychological thriller Vertigo as a possible starring vehicle for Robert Downey Jr. The actor is producing the project and with his wife Susan Downey through their Team Downey Production Company, along with John Davis and John Fox via Davis Entertainment. Peaky Blinders, and this is where Steve Knight's going to come in, creator Steve Knight is set to write the script. Hot off the heels of his commitment to do an untitled Star Wars movie for Lucasfilm. Downey has kept low profile as an actor since the release of 2019's Endgame, which was one of the highest grossing movies ever, and 2020's Doolittle, which is not. He produced and appears in the documentary Senior about his father, which is set to appear this July in Christopher Nolan's historical epic and is set to appear in Oppenheimer, opposite Cillian Murphy. But otherwise, Downey Jr.'s dance card has remained remarkably open. Okay, the original Vertigo stars James Stewart as John Scotty Ferguson, a San Francisco police detective who retires due to a paralyzing fear of heights brought on by a severe case of vertigo. After he's hired to tail an acquaintance's wife, Madeline, played by Kim Novak, Scotty becomes obsessed with her, but he fears renders him powerless to save her when she climbs the tower of a Spanish mission and plunges to her death, and the things get truly strange. Okay, let's talk about this. I think that one of the things that is interesting, okay, is when you have remakes. Because remakes are one of those things that is just, it can always be done better. Or you think they could be done better. And it's a new twist. I think, though, for what it is, Hitchcock, it's like Shakespeare, okay? It's good Shakespeare. That being said, I think that it's one of those things where I'm fascinated, but I don't know if I want to see it. Not because I'm scared of heights or anything, but because I think you're always going to be compared to the original. Always. And that's going to be true of any remake you do. Because look, they're not going to be doing, unless they have a plan for them to do all of the Hitchcock movies, I don't see that happen. And that being said, I think you just leave well enough alone. I do. I think you leave well enough alone. And I think that it's one of those things that James Stewart was an absolute legend. And I think that having a remake of Vertigo, I'm not too sure about. And I mean, we'll see. I mean, Steve Knight's got he's going to be working for the next 5 years at least. Okay, he's going to be doing Star Wars. I will say one thing though. I do like the juxtaposition. Okay, you're going from Star Wars. Okay, you're going from Star Wars. Okay, to Vertigo. I mean, it's a 180 degree turn. So I'm really fascinated to see if they're actually going to do this. The other thing that fascinates me is this. You have all these actors and all these actresses and what they do after Marvel. So, I mean, before his untimely death, you had 21 Bridges by Chadwick Boseman, which the Russos produced. I liked it. It was predictable, but I liked it. You had so you not only had that, but then you had Scarlett Johansson, and she was supposed to be in this Nancy Meyers movie here that is still up in the air. Netflix was going to, they said no. There's a couple of different people that want to take it with a lower budget. Then, okay, you have, you know, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't need the money. I mean, that's for sure. He doesn't need the money. Doolittle was, you know, a complete bomb. So, but it's interesting to see what these actors and actresses do after the fact. But yeah, I think if this gets made, and there's a possibility it will, I think it'll be interesting. It will be very interesting. I'm happy for Steve Knight getting a ton of work because, you know, I think he's going to be a good writer. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Star Wars series, though. What do you guys think? Do you like Alfred Hitchcock movies? If so, which ones do you like? Do you think they should be remaking Vertigo? If so, who would you actually get in to star? Leave me your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So our last story of the day is interesting. And is a finale. And I thought we'd do it as the last story of the day because it is the finale of a franchise. And the finale of this franchise, if everybody has seen the movie, the 1996 movie, Mission Impossible, Brian De Palma, which, by the way, I think was his third best film, believe it or not. I mean, The Untouchables is his masterclass for me. Scarface is number two. Mission Impossible is number three because you're starting up a franchise. So there was a little character, okay, and his name was William Dunlop. And everybody remembers the scene, I'm sure, where Tom Cruise is actually going into the vault, okay? And he actually is typing on the computer, but he can't touch the floor. And then, of course, you know, you have the guy slip up there and he has to kill the rat. And then you see the shot of Dunlop. And this is that shot in the top right-hand corner. Full screen this. And this is the shot you see. Because the knife falls and lands on the table just as he's about to open the door. And the alarm doesn't go off. Anyways, this was the before. And this is the after. Now, I know it's kind of grainy, but they're actually going to be bringing him back. So, the actor's name is Rolf Saxton, okay? After 25 years, Mission Impossible fans may finally find out whatever happened to William Dunlop, the CIA agent from the original movie who is supposed to be watching the highly classified documents before Ethan Hunt drops down from the ceiling and steals them in the now infamous scene. But on his Instagram account Wednesday, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning writer Christopher McQuarrie reveals that Roland Saxton, who played William Dunlop in the first Mission Impossible, is returning in next year's franchise finale, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2. McQuarrie shares a photo of Saxton's character, which now is sporting a beard, the one I'm showing on screen right now, after the original events of Mission Impossible. After Tom Cruise's super spy, Ethan Hunt suspends himself from a cable and drops down from the ceiling of the high CIA vault to seal the knock list. Dunlop was promptly fired and reassigned to a police station in Alaska. Earlier on Wednesday, McQuarrie had also announced that actor Lucy, I'm sorry if I butcher this, Tuluksha, will be joining the cast. She's dressed in a warmly heavy parka, and that's the picture you see in the bottom left, on what appears to be a snowy base. Could the final Mission Impossible return to its roots and connect to the first film? Ted Lasso star and Emmy winner Hannah Waddingham will also be joining the Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2 cast, as McQuarrie similarly announced it on his Instagram last month. The movie is set to be released in theaters June 28th, 2024, less than a year after part one on July 14th. So, and they're going to be bringing back Kittredge too. So that Kittredge is the one that when you watch the very beginning of the trailer, that he is that guy with the gray hair. And he is the one that's basically the only audio in the whole thing. So it's fascinating. I love this though. I love this. So I can't wait to see this. This is going to be so much fun. And yeah, it's going to be a blast. I think it's going to be the biggest movie this summer. Yeah, I can't wait. And the fact that they're connecting everything after 25 years is really, really cool. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, Saw kind of did that in its movies. But this is unbelievable. To bring Kittredge back, to bring this guy back. I mean, come on. You can't. It's one of those things where you're like, really? You're actually going to do this? This is going to be so much fun. And it's going to blow up. And I can't wait to see it. And it's going to be amazing. So what do you guys think, though? Do you remember this character back in 1996? Did you ever wonder what happened to him? Are you interested to see what happens with Kittredge? Leave me your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so I just want to get, I know that Coco is in here with a couple comments, and I know he probably left, but I wanted to read them off anyways. He said, I remember I saw Rogue Squadron with my dad on the day that it released. Such good times. Yeah. The thing is, this would have been such a cool, story to tell because it was different. It was something you didn't expect. So absolutely. I wish Patty had actually gotten her chance to make this. He says, I'm not sure if this new trilogy. Yeah. So that was the tie-in. I personally think the recent Star Wars shows caused people saying that I personally skipped the recent Star Wars show because people were saying they were not so well. Yeah, I mean, I watched a few of them. I watched Obi-Wan, and I think I watched something. I watched The Mandalorian. And the thing is, there's so much content out there that it's difficult. And I by the way, we're going to be doing a spoiler cast of episode number 4 of The Mandalorian either tonight or tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Definitely, I think that it's just a lot of stuff out there. And so I'm really curious to see where it goes. I'll be honest, I'm really hoping they don't announce any trilogy just because, you know, it's only been 4 years. Excuse me. It's only been four years. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll find out in April. Anyways, guys. So, that is it for today. And like I said, I'm going to be doing a Mandalorian spoiler cast. And this week we have John Wick 4 coming out. Couple of weeks, it's Easter. I can't believe it already. I'm not going to go to John Wick 4 because I haven't seen the other John Wicks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go see Air, and I'm going to watch Tetris, and I'll give you guys my thoughts on those. And then once May starts, we got a ton of stuff coming up. You know, I'm not going to bring up the graphic, but we've got, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got Fast 10. June, we got Across the Spider-Verse, Transformers, The Flash, Indiana Jones 5. You've got Oppenheimer. You've got Barbie. You've got Mission Impossible. So you're going to be getting spoiler cast for all those guys. Stay tuned for those. The April Perfect movie, I have not decided what that's going to be. But I am trying to put something together. So I'm going to be doing a whole video on it. But so I am going to be starting to put some stuff together for some stuff for Patreon. So you guys can actually look at that if you like. Check that out. It's going to be very, very, very cheap. So you guys aren't going to have to spend that much money. And yeah, so that's it. So what I'll say is this. Do the three things you need to do. Be careful, be safe, and have a great rest of the day. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching The Tux. Bye-bye.